The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Baba Kama has been generously sponsored in our Daf Yomi program by our good friend and patron and charter member of our Daf Yomi class, Siyahu Ashar HaKohen and his dear wife, Rina. That Be'ezrat Hashem, they will have continued Hatzlacha, Harvaha, Bechol, Ma'aseh, Yedehem, Bri'ut, health, happiness, prosperity, and much nachat from their children. May they enjoy many years of Shalom Bayit, tranquility, and peace of mind. Amen, the Amen.
Daf Tzadi Aleph, today's Daf is being studied in Nishmat Marat Zekenatiya Fabatzalav in Nishmat Avram Ben Esteru Hashem Terecham Began Eden. Amen. Today's Daf is being studied Lirfu Hashanah Moshe Ben Dina in the Rafarado Lirfu Atan Nefesh Urfu Ataguf Urfu Atok Kerobadabo Vechen Yirason Venomar. Amen. We begin today's Daf on Tzadi Amud Bet. And we are 3, 4, 5, 6 lines from the bottom. Tanu Rabbanan, Shor Tam Shehemit Vehizik. You have a Shor Tam. It gored, it killed somebody, and it also damaged. Now let's review the laws. Shor Tam that killed somebody right away, the deen is you put the animal to death. But it happened to also cause somebody monetary damage. Now Shor Tam and damages pays Hatsi Nizik. However, the Hatsi Nizik is paid Migufo. It's not paid more than the worth of the animal. So therefore, since the animal over here has no worth anymore because you're killing it, so the deen is danin oto dine nefashot ve'en danin oto dine mamonot. You do not have to pay the mamonot on the damage side. Rashi says shehemit adam ve'achar kach hizik ve'en danin oto dine mamonot detam en meshalem ela megufo varehu niskal. Exactly, which means the payment of the tam, as we learned, is paid from the animal itself, right? Not more than the animal itself. And therefore, there's no animal because the animal is getting killed. So therefore, the mamonot is off the hook. No payment for the mamonot. The Gemara says, mu'ad shehemit ve'zik, mu'ad, that killed and also damaged, denin oto dine mamonot, ve'hozim ve'denin oto dine nefashot. Okay, we understand that because mu'ad, the guy has to pay the damages from his pocket. So I don't care if you're killing the animal. Bottom line, you still have to pay for the damages and then they kill the animal as well. Kadmu v'danuhu dine nefashot. But let's say the betin preempted and judged the animal for dine nefashot. En chozrim v'danin oto dine mamonot. We don't judge anymore dine mamonot. Now the chala doesn't make sense. So what? You're not paying it from the animal, you're paying it from the pocket. So what do I give you judge dine nefashot first on the mu'ad? So gemas v'chi kadmu v'danuhu dine nefashot. My havi. What do I care? So what? Lehedar v'ledanayu nami mamonot. Let him judge you also on the mamonot as well. Because again, since you're paying it from the aliyah, you're paying it from the pocket, what's the difference? I don't care if the animal doesn't have any value. Amarava, ashkachtinu l'rabbanan deber rav, deyat bevekam, I found the rabbis, and the rabbis of the rest, they were sitting and saying, hamani rabbi shimon atimni. Following rabbi shimon atimni, de'amar, ma egrof miyuchad, shemasu le'idaw le'idim. Just like when a person hits with a fist. The fist can be taken to the Beit Din, and the Beit Din itself can assess the fist to see if what, if it was worthy to cause such a damage. Alma ba'inan umdina de bedina. You see what? The Shimon HaTimni holds that you need an umdina, an assessment that is made in front of Beit Din, that she says, afle nezakin. Even for damages, the high cannot be a zakin kai. The pasuk of it's talking about damage. The guy punched somebody with a fist. Kai dechtiv hika ishet re'ehu be'eben o be'egrof ve'lo yamut. V'achena misarich le'omdo ira'ui le'negihazu. In order to make a payment for a mu'ad, Beit Din has to see the animal to see if it's worthy of causing such a death. And therefore, since already they judged it already, lemita, so we're not going to delay now anymore to make an assessment. Because the law is, once already you make a judgment, you have to expedite the punishment. So then, even though the animal is still alive, I'm not going to now waste time in Beit Din to make an assessment. Eli say, what? Go kill the animal. So the Gemara says, V'hai keban de gamar dina lekatala. Once already Beit Din was posek on the shore. Hamu'ah, that killed. That is the death penalty. Lo mashina nele umdena de bedina. We're not going to make it stick around. We're not going to delay it for a assessment. Velo me'anina nedine. And we do not delay the judgment, like a regular law, that once a person is judged for a certain psak halacha, the Beit Din has to expedite the punishment. So that's the case, that even though you're paying from the pocket, but according to Shimon HaTani, you got to have the animal there to see if it was really, really worthy to cause this damage. So therefore, it's not around anymore, but it is around. Take an extra 5 minutes and make an assessment. Too late. Once we were posek that the animal's hayav mitah, you got to kill it right away, and therefore we cannot make an assessment. Therefore, if you killed it first, you will not have to pay the mamonot, the damages. V'amina liwana. So he says, and I said, who's saying over here? Rava. Rava says, afidu tema Rabbi Akiva. You're telling me that this halakha is only following Shimon HaTimni. I can tell you it's even going like Rabbi Akiva. The case is talking about where the owner of the animal fled. Which means, according to Rabbi Akiva, you don't have to have an assessment for that. As long as the witnesses say that the animal damaged, it's enough. But what happened? The case is talking about every day. They posek on the animal that the animal is hayav mita. And then what happened? The owner fled. Now you can't make the guy pay if he's not around. You can't take money out of the guy's pocket if he's not around. So that's why you kill the animal and then there's no payment. So the Gemara says, Ibarach ki lo danu dinei nefashot heki danina le dinei mamonot belo ba'alim. Which means if the guy ran away, what are you giving me a case? Dafka, where they killed the animal, where they paskad the animal first, or pusik on the animal first, even if they were pusik on the animal first. Bottom line, if the guy ran away, you can't run into the guy anyway. It means you don't have to create a case. If they put sick on the animal that it says that they get killed, and then there's no mamonot. Even if they didn't put sick on the animal, if the guy ran away, how are you going to get the money out of him? You don't have to give a case where they were put sick nefeshot first. Even without being put sick nefeshot, how are they going to get the money out of him? So the Gemara says, the kabil sahadeh ubarach. As she says, the kabil sahadeh al negihot ubarach. Which means they accepted the testimony, Beit Din accepted the testimony first, that what? That the shor damaged. Hilkach en lanu mimal leshalem uchgon delet le nikse. Which means they came into the court and the Edim testified in front of the guy. And then what happened? Then the guy already ran away. Also comes the Gemara and says, good. So the shor was, the Baal HaShor was there. Okay? And then after he ran away. So we're talking about a case over here, the Baal HaShor ran away and he did not have any nechasim. Okay, so he can't get paid over there. And since they already judged him for nefeshot, they cannot judge the dinei mamonot anymore because... Right, look at Rashi. The kabir sadeh, al negihot ubarach. Hilkach en lanu mimal leshalem. Urgon delet lenichse. Right, he has no money. So therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, what's the case we're learning now? He went into the Beit Din, the Shor Mu'ad did both things. It killed and it damaged. And what happened? He was around for the court case for the damages. And they were posek that he has to pay. And then he ran away. So, okay, if we can't pay. So he brought a sof, me'echa mishtalim. Which means, and if he was around... If he doesn't have anything to pay, what was he going to pay? Okay, he ran away. Oh, he ran away. Good. And if he didn't run away, and he was still there, he still can't pay. There's nothing to pay from because the animal's getting killed. The ox is getting killed. The ox is going to die. Please, again, the Gemara's holding, according to Rabbi Akiva, as long as witnesses testify, you don't have to have the shor around. Even if they killed the shor, we'll give the case better. They killed the shor. According to Rabbi Akiva, you don't have to have a shor around for an assessment. He doesn't know you need an assessment. So what's the case? Why Rabbi Akiva, you're learning that there's no payment for the nizikin. So you know why there's no payment for the nizikin? Because the guy ran away. Oh, the guy ran away. And if he didn't run away, what was he going to pay? If he doesn't have any money, even if he was around, he has nothing to pay. So he goes, no, if he was around, we do the following. However, if he was around, mecha mishtadem miridya. Oh, what does Miridya mean? Look at Rashi. Sof, kilod danu dinei nefashot, mechi mishtalem u'ilu barach. Which is, in the case where they didn't do dinei nefashot, let's say, and the animal was still around. If he ran away, good. Then he can't pay. And if he stayed around, even if he stayed around, if he doesn't have anything to pay, what were they going to take it from? So the Gemara said they would have taken it from the plowing. which means before they kill the animal, the animal still has ability to work, to plow. So they let it make, before they were dan nefashot, before they were dan nefashot. You're telling me over here that Rabbi Akiva says you don't pay. Why don't you pay? Because he wasn't around. And if he was around, he also wouldn't pay. Where would you pay from? If they didn't dan nefashot, what would he pay from? Oh, you pay from the animal. What would the animal? He pay from the plowing. Yaki tam nidaine dine mamonot beresha. Oh, so then let's go back. In a case where a tam, let's say, did damages, so therefore, why don't we judge the mamonot first, v'nishtale midija, and then let them pay it from the plowing. And then judge the nefashot side of it, and therefore you can get both. Look at Ashid. Ashid says, "Midijah, machine it tashon harisha. The schirut you rent it out for plowing. Umishalem the nizak. Maharechin you do the nefashot. And after you do what the nefashot, aval kadmu v'derod isakel. But once already they judged sekina lo ma'anina. Then we're not going to delay the proceedings. Bedine v'ashvil midijah." Which is only because they judged it for the nefashot. That's why, according to Rabbi Akiva, you're not going to pay the nizikin. Because why? Because once you've already done the nefashot, you got to put the animal, you got to kill him. You're not going to delay the judgment. Oh, so Gemara says, and if the animal was still around, if the guy has nothing to pay, even if he was there, what were you going to take from him? No, we take the animal, we go work it, rent it out for its plowing, and then after we rent it out for its plowing, then we'd kill it. Oh, if that's the case, you can do that for a tam also. For a tam, why did you say that you don't pay for nizikin? Chavra, judge it for the mamonot, let the animal work for its nizikin, and then kill it. Amar amori bered Rav Kana zot omeret ridiya aliyah demarahu. Because ridiya is considered out of pocket. We don't look at the ridiya as migufo. Migufo of the animal is the animal itself. But what comes out of the animal, the work and things like that, the renting of the animal, that's considered out of pocket. And tam does not pay out of pocket. And therefore, by a tam, you have no option, illa but what, to judge the nefashot. Once you judge the nefashot, the animal's worth nothing, and therefore there's no din on the nizikin. But legabe a mu'ad will have a shita like this. Kodeshim on a timni, that says what you need the animal there for an assessment. Once already you judge it for dinin nefashot, you cannot make an assessment on the animal because you got to kill it right away, and therefore you cannot judge dinin zakin. And even according to the Akiva, that says you don't need the animal there for the assessment. We're talking about where the guy wasn't around to be judged on the nizikin. So the Gemara says, and if he was around, what would we have done? No, if he was around, so then we would have told him use the animal first for ridiya, for plowing, and after you would pay the nizikin, we make you now be judged for the nefeshot, and they would kill the animal as well. Comes the Gemara and says, "Ibayadehu." The Gemara has a question: Yesh omed le nizakin, or en omed le nizakin? Okay, which means is Bet Din obligated to make an assessment on the weapon, on the item that caused the damage? Do we make Bet Din now look at the item and analyze it and see if it's really worthy to cause the damage that is being claimed over here? Mi amrinan, do we say nekatala hu deamrinan, which means maybe the gabe mita, when the weapon kills, then already we have to analyze b'hakin afkan shama, b'hakinon afkan shama. Is this item worthy to take out a soul or not? About the nizakim, but maybe when it comes to damages, kol dehu, which means maybe anything we'll say can make a damage, or dilma lo shena, or maybe no, maybe there's a chaduk, maybe there's no chaduk, and if you have to make an omet for the zikin as well. So it's for mitah, the Gemara is assuming you have to make an omdina. If somebody killed somebody, so the bitin has to analyze if this item was ra'ui to cause the death or not. However, the Gabe Nizikin, the Gemara wants to know, does the Betin have to make an umdina? Or do we say, no, for damage, anything can cause a damage. And therefore, Betin does not have to make an umdina. Or do you say, no, maybe Betin has to make the same assessment. Look at Rashi. She says, the katala hu de'amdinan. Dichtiv be'evin yad asher yamut ba ve'ikahu. Oh, we have a gezerat ha-katuf. That when somebody kills somebody, the Betin has to see the weapon to see to it that what? That it's able to kill. Aval enizakin enom din. Da'afil en chafet zera'u la'azik, ze'chayat zlim din zik b'choldu. Exactly, which is even when it comes to damages, even if the item itself might not be that weak to damage, sometimes it is. When you're for killing, then already you have to make an umdana. But sometimes for damages, even the koldu was able to cause a damage. So comes the Gemara and says, so again, that's basically the question. Does the Betin have to make an assessment on the weapon when it comes to damages? When it comes to mitah, the Gemara is assuming yes. And the Gemara, she quotes a pasuk. But the Gemara damages, yes or no? So the Gemara brings it out, yeah, tashema. Okay, bor of the Torah. Ma bor, she is po kedele hamit. Asarat tefahim, right? How much does the bor have to be deep in order to be hayav? Mitah? Ten tefahim. Correct, stam bor for mitah is a bor of 10 tefahim. Af kol, sheyesh bo kedei lehamit, 10 tefahim. So to every ditch, in order to be hayav mitah, meaning for killing somebody, has to be a shiur of 10 tefahim. Hayu, now we're talking about the animal, by the way, the animal falling in. Hayu pechutin ma'asarat tefachim. If let's say it was less than 10 tefachim, v'nafal letucho shoruch hamor v'met, and the shoruch hamor fell in and died, patur. Okay, huzak bo hayav. Oh, but for damages less than 10, you're going to be hayav. So the Gemara says, my love, mimata lemala kahashiv. Must be we're judging when it comes to nizikin from the bottom of the board to the top, which means even one tefach, which is from 1 to 10, is already considered for nezikin. Even the smallest amount of bor is going to be patur memita, but hayav for nezikin. So the Gemara says, "V'aki kamak mitefach v'ad asara from 1 to 10 mita leka nezikin ika alma nezikin kol dehu." From here, we see that when it comes to damages, anything can cause a damage, and therefore you don't need an assessment. Because really, a person, an animal, or somebody can get damaged even from anything. That what? When it comes to damages, Beti does not have to make the assessment. The Gemara says, no. Instead of going from down to up, go from up to down. Meaning, asara mita ika. Yeah, 10 has mita. Now go down. 9, mita no, nezakin yes. But after that, they already need an assessment. Pachot me'asara purta, a drop less than asara, nizakin ita, mita leka. Ud'olam, and I'll tell you, Emma, lak yesh omed le nizakin. Vechol midi umidi ki echi de mitzaka be, ba'inan. And each item over there, you have to analyze to see if it's la'oi to make the hezek, which means when it comes to a board, it's not any size of a board. Tafka the Achamim said, Bor Asaraz Mita, Bor Tish'a is Nizakin. Anything less than that, then already the assessment has to be made. Which is automatic. 10 is definitely for Mita. 9 is definitely for Nizakin. More than that, we don't know. Now already, if a guy sure gets damaged in such a board, so then already you have to make the assessment if indeed such a board was able to cause such a damage that the Nizak is claiming. Look at Nashi. She says, my love, hadiktarim, ayu pehutini muzak bo hayav, it was less than 10 nizik mi hayav for nizikim, bilimata lemala kashiv, alma betefah haviz, even a tefah will be hizik. Skabrahim says, no, it's talking about only 9, but anything less than that, already you need a omid. So comes the Gemara and says, Tashema, bring you another braya. Hikau al aino v'simo, okay, we're talking about an evid kirani. Guy hit him on the eye, blinded him. Al ozno v'harsho, on his ear, Eved yotzei b'em neharut. That's already considered a she'evarim, and the Eved goes out neharut. Keneged eino. However, let's say him on the, let's say, the frame of the eye. Keneged eino. And what? Eino lo'e. And he went blind as a result of it. Keneged ozno. Again, around his ear. And as a result, he hit him. Or let's say he screamed keneged his ear. And what's the deen? Ve'eino shoman. He went deaf from that. And Eved Yotzei Bahem Neharut. It wasn't a direct hit to the eye. It wasn't a direct hit to the ear. My tama lav mishum de ba'inan umdena. Must be that you need an assessment. And therefore what? Must be the assessment is made that when you hit somebody around the frame of the eye, that should not cause blindness. And therefore, if the guy went blind, that makkah did not do it. It must be he was weak, or must be in something else with the guy. And therefore, that's why you see that what the eber does not go out. Shema mina yesh umdina l'nezakin. Again, the fact that we said that when you hit the eye itself and he goes blind, mashik, when you hit around the eye, or you hit around the ear, you scream around his ear, mamash, punch him in the ear, you scream in the ear, and he loses his hearing. So what do we say? In Eved Yotze. Why not? He loses his hearing. What's the difference? Ela must be, because we make an umdina. And we say, with this item that he did, is that not we to cause blindness? Must be Metim said, no. Therefore, he doesn't go out free. So you see why, even on Nizakin, they make umdinas, they make assessments. So comes the Gemara and says, look at what she says. He shouldn't have went blind from that. So how do you go blind? He has a bad mazal. That's why he went blind. So Gemara says, no. Which means, the reason, really I'll tell you maybe, yesh in umdina. I'll tell you normally, let's say in umdina. That a person can get damaged from anything. But this is different. Because this, he did it himself. This is the reason why the effort doesn't go out in these cases, because the damage is considered self-inflicted in the sense that you were only gorem. You scared him, and as a result of him not controlling his fear, he let himself, let the fear affect him from the scream and go deaf. And he allowed the fear to cause him to go blind, let's say. The Gemara says, "Kedetanya, hamav'itet havero," a person scares his friend. Patur midine adam b'chaya b'dine shamayim. Ketzad, what's the case? Takab be'ozno. The guy screamed in his friend's ear. Be'arishon, he caused him to go deaf. Patur. Why is he patur over here? He didn't rip the guy's ear off. He didn't punch him directly in the ear. He's frightened him. As a frightened, the guy let himself get scared, and therefore caused himself to get affected by it. And therefore you patur b'din adam. However, ahazor, if you held the guy's ear, ve'taka, and you blew in his ear as you're holding his ear, ve'arisho hayav. Because that's already a hezek bi'adayim. So if you have no idea from the case of the Eved. The case of the Eved, you know why he doesn't go out free? It's a garama. You hit him over here, he went blind, that's not indirect. Indirect. In America, they really, normally we do make assessments. We don't have to make an assessment. We don't make assessments. But this is a different case because it's a garama. Look at that sheep. She says, okay, he grabbed the ear itself. That's considered a masa. So actually, we did not bring a ra'ayah yet. Tashema, hamisha devarim, omdim oto venotnim lo miyad. The five payments. Nezek, sa'ar, shevet, ipui, boshet. The beti makes an assessment, and you pay the guy off immediately. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? I understand how you can pay nezek immediately. Sa'ar, you also can pay immediately. Boshet, also immediately. But when it comes to ipui and shevet, how do I know how much a doctor bills are going to be? How much you know how many days he's going to be out of work? So how do you calculate ripui and shevet immediately? So Gemara says ripui v'shevet ad shiyitrape. Oh, however, when it comes to ripui and shevet, you have to calculate right ad shiyitrape until he heals. What does that mean? Until he heals, nashi ripui v'shevet ad shiyitrape. Kolomad. Sirichin bedin la'amod. They make an assessment. Kama ra'ui liyot nofel l'mishkav becholize. They have to calculate. How many days is this guy going to be out for? And how much doctors and medicines is going to need? U'mehayvin etze liten lo miyad kol ripui v'shifto u'mezonot tzrichim lo ad shiyitrape. So that's also given miyad. The assessment is made immediately. The Abetin has to calculate the ripui and the shevet on the spot. So Gemara says, let's say they made a mistake. Amadu ve'ayam mitnevna ve'odech. They calculated it for a certain amount of time, and the guy got worse. And the guy went on and got sick and needed more shevet and more ripui. En notnim lo elo kemo she'amadu. He only gets paid according to what the Abetin calculated. Because we could assume if Betty made the calculation, they were right. And if this guy got sick, he's a posheya. Because he's negligent. He didn't take care of himself. However, the other way is also good. Amaduhu ve'ivri. Let's say they calculated him and he got better earlier. So the deen is, notnim lo kol ma'asheh amadu. He gets all the money. Why? Because we said his mazal was good. He had a good mazal. So therefore, he's not, he shouldn't get punished because of that. Therefore, they give him the full amount. But what do you see? Yesh ma'mina, yesh omed le'nezakin. What are you doing over here? You're making an omed. You're making an assessment. Bet Din is calculating how much should the guy be, you know, sick or out of work for this. So you see, we're making an umdina. So comes the Gemara and says, Lememad gavra kama liksar miha maka kama lo miksar lo kama b'ilan devadai amdina. To know how long the guy's going to be sick, miksar is falling sick. To know how long the guy's falling sick and how long the guy's not falling sick, that vadai we agree, you're making umdina. Ki kama b'ilan lememad hifza. We were talking about making an umdana on the weapon. Such a weapon caused the damage or not. We were not talking about assessments in how many days he's going to be out of work. That's for sure you make an assessment. My, back to the question. Tashema shimona timni omer ma igrof miyuhad. Just like the igrof. The fist of a person when he damages somebody. It's miyuhad in the sense that what? Shemasu la'eda ve'la'edim. That why you can bring the fist to Betin. And Betin could look at the fist and see exactly if this fist was that way to cause the damage. Af kol shemasu la'eda ve'la'edim. So to all weapons that can be brought into the Betin and the Betin can assess it. So what do you see from Shimon HaTimni? You learn from this that you need an omid for nizakin. Comes out really you need an omid for the nizikin. You need to make the assessment. I above we brought a machlok between Shimon HaTimni and Rabbi Akiva. The machlok between Shimon HaTimni and Rabbi Akiva was as follows. Shimon HaTimni says the omid has to be made by the judges. When Rabbi Akiva says you could rely on the witnesses.
Has to be done.
Umdina. But still, an assessment has to be made. So, if I could to everybody, yesh omed ben ezikim, when the witnesses come in, we say, yeah, we saw the weapon that used the damage, and yeah, it could have caused such a damage. Okay, good. Now, the judges take the witness's word. Shimon HaTimni says, no, you got to bring the weapon into Beit Din, and the Beit Din have to expect it themselves to see. And to that, Rabbi Akiva's claim was what? And Vichy, you make them go to the building, you make them reconstruct the building. And all those questions that they had on the previous daf. Okay, comes back to this. Amar Mor. Amaduhu. Vehibri. Beit Din made an assessment on the guy. How much medicine he's going to need, all that. He got better early. Notim lo koma she'amaduah. They give whatever they assess. Let's say they assess them that he's going to be sick for the whole day. And he got better half the day. And he went to work. Give him the full day. That mercy on him. That's his good luck. But he gets the full payment. Rakak. What we say in the Mishnah, we talked about the punishment or the payment of busha. Guy spat in front of somebody, and the spit reached him, so you have to pay for the damages. 400 zuz. You got to pay for boshet. Amar papa lo shanu ela bo, meaning it actually hit him. Avad bebichdo lo, but if it hit his garment. There is no boshet on the garment. So comes the Gemara and says, why not? It should not be worse than embarrassing somebody verbally. Verbally, does his body get affected? No. But he gets embarrassed. So when he spits, why don't he speak it? Right, his body didn't get affected. The chalat shouldn't be worse than verbal embarrassment. So Gemara says, Amri b'marava mishved Rabbi Yosef b'Rabin zot omeret. You know what you learn from here? Bisho b'devarim patur mikkelum. You're right. Verbal embarrassment, there's no punishment for boshet. The source of boshet is what? The lady, when she was protecting her husband, v'hazika bin bushav. She went and she held on to the private parts of the other guy. And therefore she has to pay for busha. Now that's only because she did something physical, something active. Now she ain't kin, if you do something passive, like just embarrassing somebody verbally, but it doesn't affect the actual goof of the person, so therefore there is no damage for busha. Hakol lefi kevodo. Tana Kama said what? It is all relative. That what? Depending on the guy that got embarrassed. If he's an ashuv guy, it's more payment. If he's less ashuv guy, less payment. Iba ya lehu. Tana Kama lekula ka'amar o lehumra ka'amar. Which is Tana Kama's words. Was he coming to be mekel on the mebayesh or mahmir on the mebayesh? What's the two sides? Lekula ka'amar. Which is when he said 400 in the Mishnah, that was the highest price. But a poor guy would be less than 400. So really he was giving you the high price. He was being mekel. Not just for a rich man 400, but if it's less, less. Oh, dilma lechumra ka'amar. Or maybe he was going lachmir, meaning the ika ashir de ba'el lemetav letafer. Maybe 400 was the low price. Maybe 400 was for the ali. But a rich guy, maybe you have to pay more. So basically the question to give us, the 400 zuz price in the Mishnah, for who was it being assessed for? Is that the rich man? And or is it the poor man? And the rich man will be even more. Tashema midkamar rabbi akiba. Remember Rabbi Akiva said, he said, even the poor guy, we give him an advantage and we pay him a higher price. The higher price, we look at him as if he's a man that was rich and lost his money, which that guy has a higher musha. So from the fact that Rabbi Akiva came along and said that, must be that Tanakama's schum, Tanakama's price, Shma Mina, Tanakama, Likula Ka'amar, which means he set his price to be lenient on the Mivayish, which is he was coming along to say that what the maximum price you pay is 400. To that, Rabbi Akiva came along and said, no, that's not the maximum price. The Ani, we're going to pay him, more than you want to say to be Tanakama. That what? Look at Nashi. Nashi says in the bottom. Let's read it in Nashi inside. May the Kama be Akiva feel the Aniim. Long Nashi. The Hazina Delo Hayav Latet the Poreya Rosh Aisha. Here's the key proof of the proof. What did Rabbi Akiva say? How much you have to pay? What was the story of Rabbi Akiva? Guy went and pulled the hair off a lady. Right? The hair coming off the head. Rabbi Akiva said, 400 zuz. El 400 zuz. Now, ke Tanakama. Now that's exactly what Tanakama said. You have to pay also for Musha Shema. Mina, Tanakama likula ka'amar. That he must have been saying, likula wa de la'ani lo yavina kulai. Which means, the 400 zuz according to him is the top price. Masma, that if it's less than a rich man, you'll pay less than 400 zuz. He was giving you the top tier, Tanakama. Oh. And therefore, the la'ani lo yavina kulai, v'kama l'Rabbi Akiva, le'el namei yavina nache, and he's coming along and saying, no, la'ani namei yavina nache, no, even a poor guy, you'll pay 400. U'ma'aseh be'achad sh'parah rosh ha'isha, aniyah. Oh, and the story over there was, the lady was aniyah.
She was
beautiful. And what? So pay 400. So therefore, the Isa gadach hay shi'urah da'arba me'od t'rakma afachot shiba'aniyim ka'amar. If you're saying that the Tanakhama was saying the lowest, the 400 is for the poor person, for the lowest. And rich people, you have to pay more. And Rabbi Akiva is coming along to say, no, the Ani is even more. So why do you say only 400? Why did Rabbi Akiva say 400? Ela must be that what? That Tanakama was saying that for the highest price that you're going to pay is 400. That's for the rich. Right? To be mekel on the mevayish. That you're not paying more than 400. Mashaik and aniim, you're going to pay less. And to that, Rabbi Akiva says, no. Aniim, you pay even more. Aniim, you pay 400. Because you have the story of the lady that was embarrassed. She was aniyah. And Rabbi Akiva said, you're mechayev 400. So they have a much. If you
pay more for Hashir?
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
So which is learned, it's the same.
No, according to that. No. According to Rabbi Akiva came along and gave a story of a lady that got embarrassed. She was aniyah, and the din of the Mishnah was what? He was posik. He has to pay 400 zuz of busha. Correct.
Yeah.
Oh, now Tanakama if he was saying 400 zoos for an ani, so Rabbi Akiva should have came along and said more than 400 zoos, because he's the one that's upping the price for an ani. Right. Right. And the fact that he said 400 zoos must be Tanakamal 400 zoos for the ashir. Right. And to that, Rabbi Akiva is coming along and said, no, even an ani, you get 400 zoos. Therefore, you know that Rabbi Tanakama must have saying it was the cap.
Right.
400
right.
is the who has the cap with
richer poor
and Tanakama. No, which means the highest you're going to pay is 400, but an ani will get paid less. He gave you the top price. The ashir is be 400. If he's less than that, that's the maximum you can get paid. If it's an ani, will get 100. To that, the Akiva says, no, an ani gets 400. Like the story. So you see that he's arguing. Because if he wasn't arguing, if Tanakama was saying that what? That the ani gets 400, so the Akiva should have said the ani gets 600. Why do you only say 400? Ela must be, he was talking about the cap, and to him he was saying, no, even the anim get this amount. That's how we learn Tanakama from the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. Comes the Gemara and continues. Shramina, umase. What the story is told me, Mishnah, the guy, lady, her hair got pulled off, and Rabbi Akiva said to me 400 zoos. The guy said, I don't have the money, so what did Rabbi Akiva say? Okay, pay it over time. Me, Abinatz man? Do you give a person time to pay these damages, Rabbi Usha? You don't give a payment plan for Habalot, you gotta pay it immediately. When don't you give time to pay? When there's actually a damage that you cost the guy a loss. Then you got to pay, compensate him immediately. But busha, there's no monetary loss. The guy, you give the guy time. So what did the guy do? He waited outside the chaser, and what happened? He dropped some oil in front of her. She took off her wig. She took the oil. She put it over her head. And so Rabbi Akiva came back to Rabbi Akiva. He said, this lady have to give bullshit to for a little oil she takes off her hair. That means she has no busha. So what did Rabbi Akiva answer? She can do whatever she wants to herself. But just because she has a right to embarrass herself or to damage herself. But if you damage her, you're going to have to pay. So comes again what God says. So that was Rabbi Akiva's ta'ana. Even though a person should not damage themselves, but if they damage themselves, they're patur. But if you damage somebody else, you're going to have to pay. We have another braita. Amar lo Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva said, Salalta b'mayim adirim. You are drowning in deep waters. Ve'ilita cheres b'yadecha. Which means you're struggling, and all you came up with was what? A piece of pottery that's not worth anything, which means your claim. You went through this whole charade over here to try to get off paying over here, but all you're digging and all you're going on the bottom of the ocean to look for treasures, you came up with what? A piece of pottery. Why? Adam rashay lahabol be'atzmo. Oh, she's allowed to do that. She's allowed to damage herself. What do you mean? But Amishnah said the opposite. Amishnah said, even though she's not allowed to damage herself, she's patut, but it's different when you do it. But in this bright, that's much better. Rabbi Akiva was saying, she's allowed to damage herself. So make up your mind. Is she allowed or is she patut? So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Ravada Kashia, kan b'habbala, kan b'boshet. When it comes to actually physically damaging, habbala, cannot physically damage them. When it comes to embarrassing yourself, she's allowed. Those are the two braitot. Levayesh atzmo, utab. Lachbel atzmo, asur. So the Gemara says, matnitin beboshetu. What are you talking? Am Mishnah was talking about boshet. That was the whole conversation. And what did Rabbi Akiva say? That even though it's not allowed, we're not allowed, we're talking about boshet. That's the whole discussion. So why did the Akiva say that what? That even though Ha'chovel Ba'atzmo, Eno Rashai, why Eno Rashai? If you're learning the case we're talking about is bullshit, it should be Mutar. Wasn't that the case in the Mishnah? It was a bullshit case.
Maybe she can pull
the hair off. Ah, the Ketani Ha'chovel Ba'atzmo, Patur. Why Eno Rashai? We're talking about bullshit. Ha'chi Ka'amale, this is what the Akiva said. Lo Me'baya bullshit. De Adam Rashai Le'bayeshet Atzmo. For sure, when it comes to bullshit, for sure she's allowed. And that's why vada you have to pay. Ela, I'll tell you better. Afilu habala. de'en adam rashay lechabel ba'atzmo, acherim shehavlu bo hayavim. Because you would have thought, maybe, listen, if the person does it to himself, he's going to be hayav. So there, and we see them damaging themselves physically, so maybe somebody that damaged themselves physically, I would have thought, if I do it, I don't have to pay. Because they do it to themselves. That's the chiddush of Rabbi Akiva. Even in a case where if they did it to themselves, they'd be guilty, it's asur for them to do it, you still would have to pay. But in this case, you don't got to go that far. Because this case over here, she's allowed to mevayesh herself. So therefore, of course, she can, if you embarrass her, you'd have to. So make her say two things. Number one, no mevayesh, bullshit, that she's allowed to do it. So of course she can, you have to pay. But even if she was mechabel herself, where she's not allowed, and you did the same thing, you would have to pay. And you can't say, well, she did it. She does it to herself. You're right, she does it, she's wrong. But doesn't allow you to go do it as well. Comes the Gemara and says, ve'en adam rashay lechabol ba'atzmo. Is that so? A person is allowed to damage himself? Why not? V'hatanya, oh, we have a braita. Yachol, nishma leharam be'atzmo. Guy made a shivua. I swear I am going to do something bad to myself. I'm going to damage. Made a shivua. Ve'lo hera. And he didn't fulfill his shivua. Ye patur? You think he's going to be patur when a person makes a shivua and he doesn't fulfill it? That's being a korban. He's hayav. So he says, well, if a guy makes a shiva, if he doesn't fulfill it, you think he's going to be patur? Tamud omar lehara or lehetif. That sometimes you make a shiva to do something bad for yourself, and sometimes you make a shiva to do something good. Ma hataba. Just like, what type of shiva, meaning you're doing something good? Reshut. Something that's voluntary. You cannot make a shiva to do a mitzvah, because you're commanded to do the mitzvah already. A shiva that they hold you on is a voluntary shiva that I would not have been commanded if I did, only because I made the shiva. So therefore, you make a shivua that I'm going to do something positive, you have to fulfill that shivua. If you don't fulfill that shivua, you have to be a korban. Af hara'a, so too, when you make a shivua to do something against yourself, reshut, it has to be something that is, again, not asur, it has to be something that is also voluntary. Avi nishba le'ara be'atzmo ve'lo hera. So I'll come to include what? That a guy came along and swore, I swear I'm going to damage myself, meaning we're thinking habala, and the Gemara is assuming that's considered voluntary, he can, and he didn't damage himself, he has to bring a korban. So you see what? Mutar lachbol ba'atzmo. Gemara, who told you when he said he's going to damage himself, meant he's going to physically cause himself a blemish? He's going to set upon himself a fast. Amar Shmuel, be'eshev betanit. That's all it means. I set upon myself, I'm a fast. That's the habala that we're talking about over here. No, the ayah that can be mechobel ba'atzmo. Oh, wait. The kibataga be hara'at achirim lohoshivam b'ta'anit. Now, we have a rule. All these shivuot that we're talking about over here, they have to be shayach. You could swear on yourself, or you're making a swear to somebody else. I swear I'm going to do bad to somebody else. Now, the way we're learning it is what? I swear I'm going to make somebody else fast? Yeah, how could you do that? Give me last question. Could you cause somebody else to fast? If you're learning it's habala, good, I can make a shiva myself, or I can make a shiva to somebody else that I'm going to damage. But if you tell me the case is about where he's accepting upon himself a ta'anit, could you make a ta'anit on somebody else? Says, yes, you can. In the mehadek lehu beindruna. Lock him in the room. Lock him in the room without any food. You cause the guy to fast. You're able to do it. Gemara says, wait, v'hatanya eze hara'at achirin. We have a clear bright. What does it mean when you're doing something bad to somebody else? Ake ploni ve'efsa et mocho. I'm going to hit the guy and bust his brain. So therefore, you see, it's clearly talking about habala. And therefore, the case of himself must be talking about habala. And that's must be the shoot. And therefore, you see, it's mutal lachbol ba'atzmo. Right? So comes Gemara says, ela tana'e. You know what? Indeed, it is a machlok amongst the tana'im. If a person is allowed to self-inflict himself, דיקה למען דאמר אין אדם לאשר לחבול בעצמו ויקה למען דאמר אדם לאשר לחבול בעצמו נקרא לי מחלוק את הנעים מן תנד שמעת דאמר אין אדם לאשר לחבול בעצמו. Who's the opinion that says that a person is not allowed to inflict a damage upon himself? אילמה הייתנהו. Maybe it's from the following brighter, the Tanya. ואח את דמכם לנפשותיכם את ראש. The Torah says, I am going to hold you responsible for your life. If somebody commits suicide, that's considered that he did it to himself. He's going to be responsible for his own blood. רבי אלעזר אומר, מיד נפשותיכם את ראש את דמכם. Meaning, from you I am going to hold you accountable for your blood. Miyad nefshotechem, from your nefesh you're going to be responsible for your own blood. I mean, that's where we learn suicide from. So therefore, maybe from there we learn that you see not allowed to damage yourself. No, dilma katala shani. Maybe when you go all the way, it's different. Maybe to kill himself, that's already asud. But maybe just to cause himself damage, I have no idea. Just because suicide is forbidden, doesn't mean that a person cannot cause himself damages. In a haitanahu, from the following, the tanya, we have a braita, mikar'in alamit. But when somebody dies, halakha says a person's allowed to rip his clothes. Velo medarke ha'emori. And it's not considered a isur of the guim. Halakha says, you're not allowed to go in the ways of the guim. Kanere, it seems, we're not talking about the regular kiri'ah over here of the halakha. We're talking about in grief, the people would just shear their clothes. So the halakha says over here, if somebody dies and a person starts tearing their clothes, that's not isur from following the ways of the guim. Oh, Amar bin Azar. Bin Azar says, no. Shamati. Yeah, when you rip excessively, because you're not allowed to cause damages, you're not allowed to just rip things and break things without any purpose. So that's just make kiriyah. I make kiriyah one tefah. Now you're going to start ripping the shirt excessively? That's already bal tashrit. Oh, because you can go for. If Rabbi Azar says you're not allowed to make bal tashrit on a beged, because you can't make bal tashrit on your body. So must be Rabbi Elazar's the opinion that says En Adam Rashay Lachbol Ba'atzmo. Gemara says no. V'dilma Begadim Shani. Maybe clothes are different. Difsida Delo Hadarhu. Because once you rip a clothes, you can't fix it. The body will reheal itself. So ripping a garment is worse. Ripping a garment like this, it's the same thing. You got to throw it in the garbage. Oh, that's about the shait. But a damage of the body that heals itself, maybe it's different. And the Gemara proves it. Ki had Rabbi Yohanan. Rabbi Yohanan kari lemanem machbaduta. He used to call his clothes the items that give me respect. So you see, the way he referred to his clothes was in a very hashuv way. Rav Chizda kadava misge bnei hizmi vehige. Rav Chizda, when he used to walk in the thorn bushes, what he used to do? Madle lehu lemane. He used to lift up his robe. What ended up happening? His legs would get all cut up. So they told him, what do you mean, Rabbi? You're getting all cut up. So he said, Amar ze ma'ale arucha, ve ze eno ma'ale arucha. My leg will heal, but my robe, if it rips, it's not going to get better. So you see what? Could be bal tashrit on a beged is worse than bal tashrit on the body. So who's the opinion that says, En adam rashay lachbol ba'asot? When I concludes, Ela aitanau detanya amar bilazara kapar berbi. He said in the name of the great rabbi, Birabi means the Adam Gadol Batorah. Matamud Omar, it says by a Nazir. A Nazir that became Tameh. He became Tameh, a corpse, whatever, he had to be a Korban. So the Pasuk says, V'chiper alav ma'asher hata ala nefesh. He has to bring a Korban as kapara for what he did to the soul. What did he do? He didn't do anything to the soul. Who did he sin to? Yeah, he punished himself. Who asked you to refrain from drinking wine? The Torah says you're allowed to drink wine. And you, Nazir, come along now and you cause yourself a tsar by saying you're not going to drink wine. You need a kapara. So the Gemara makes a kavahomer. V'halo devenim kavahomer. Uma zeh. A guy doesn't eat at all. He's fasting. He's going to be considered a chote. And therefore, according to this over here, you see it's asur for a person to put himself in tzar. Whether it's abstaining from wine. Kol sheken fasting, and kol sheken if a person causes himself tzar by giving him a painful, a sort of affliction, all the more so it's going to be asur. So the opinion that says asur la adam la chavod ba'atzmo is indeed the opinion of Rabbi Azar. We continue the Gemara Kotzisnati Otav. So we said in the Mishnah that if a person cuts his own trees, even though he's not allowed to cut his trees, however, there's no damage. But if others do it, they're going to be hayav. Which is a person is not allowed to cut his own trees. Obviously, we're talking about a fruit tree over here. But if he cuts it, he's patur. He doesn't have to pay anything. But if somebody else does it, of course he'll have to pay. So comes Gemara says, "Tani Rabba Bar Bar Hana Kamed Rav." This is the story. Gemara says, "Shori Harakti." Guy comes along and has a claim against his friend. You killed my shor, or niti oti katzatsta. Katzatsta. You cut my saplings. You cut my trees. And the guy comes along and says, "You're right. Ata amarta li lehorgo. Ata amarta li lekotzetzo. You told me to do it." The din is patur. Now this is an amazing thing. There's witnesses that saw the guy cut. And the guy's admitting, "I did cut. What should I pay? You told me to do it." So the Gemara says, "What? You're going to be patur in such a case? Amar le imken. If that's going to be the law, lo shavak chayel lebriyata. You did not give anybody a chance to live anymore." Which means everybody can always claim that. Whatever somebody's claim, you damaged me, so you told me to do it. And furthermore, kol kemine, do you believe him? Why should you believe him to say such a thing? Just because he comes along and says, "You told me to do it." Where is the ne'emanut? Which is, that's not the normal thing to do, to, for a person to give permission to do such a thing. Why should he have a ne'emanut? Amar le, esmiye. So Rabba says, "What do you want me to do? Erase the braita? Have a braita. Because you have a good question. What, should I erase the braita?" Amar le, "No, I didn't tell you to erase the braita. Titergem matnitach. Explain the braita. Beshora omed lahariga, ubilana omed lekitzitza." It's talking about a shor that was destined already to be killed, which means it's chayav mita anyway. Or let's say it's a, for example, it was a shor that was roveya somebody, or it was a shor aniskal or something like that, or it's a ilan from a asherah that already was omed, was worshipped avodah zarah, so it's going to be destined to be killed, chopped dead anyway. Therefore, when the guy says, "You told me to do it," you could believe him. So the Gemara says, "Ihache my kata'inle." So then what's the claim? Which means, obviously he's asking for monetary compensation. If the item anyway was supposed to be killed, mm-hmm. What do you think? "You killed my shor." What do you mean you killed the shor? The shor was supposed to die. And he said, "You told me to do it." "Good, you told me to do it." So he did it. Which is where you're coming along now and saying that there's a monetary claim here. Gemara says, "The amale ana ba'ina lime'ibad hay mitzvah." The guy can come along and say, "Listen, I wanted to do the mitzvah myself." And therefore, he wants to get compensated for the fact that he stole the mitzvah from him. Where do you see this concept that you can get compensated from a stolen mitzvah? Detanya by kisui adam. Veshafach v'chisa. Says you spill the blood of the chicken, let's say, and then you cover. Misha shafach, meaning the shohet, the one that spilled the blood, yechaseh. U'ma'aseh v'chad sheshachat v'kadam haviro v'chisa. Somebody else jumped and covered the blood. And Abagir made the guy pay the shohet for the schar of the mitzvah, 10 zehuvim. So therefore, that's the story over here. Which means really, a guy comes along and says, "You told me to do it." We don't believe the guy. But in the case where you could assume that the guy told him to do it, for example, it's a case where the animal is destined to die anyway, so we'll believe him. Oh, so the question is, what was the claim? The claim was he wanted to do the mitzvah himself. Look at Nashi. Ana ba'ina. Let's just go back before that. Omed lahariga. Shor shehemit. Okay, a shor that killed somebody. So the shor is destined to die. Omed leketzitza ashera. Okay, a tree that was worshipped by Avodah Zarah. Or kol etz hanotel reshut terabim. Or a tree, let's say, that's overhanging into the public domain. Umekiyaresh shema yipol al adam v'yamut. It's dangerous. They're worried that it's going to fall on a person. Therefore, halachas, you got to chop the tree now. Ana ba'ina lemeibad ha-mitzvah. When the other guy comes along and says, "Ata amartli, you told me to do it," mistama kushta kamar. You can assume he's telling the truth. They came under the hachikae, since it's destined to be knocked down anyway. Lo kapit kulahai. The inche udinche. The guy must have forgotten. And therefore, he's coming on saying, "No, I wonder, what's your claim?" His claim must be, he wants the ischar of the mitzvah. Comes the Gemara and says, "Arav declared it to Ankabah, a palm tree that is able to sustain or to grow a kav of fruit, a kav of dates a year, that's what it produces a year. Asula mixite. Such a fruit tree, you're not allowed to cut down." So it seems a tree has to produce a certain volume of fruit. So the Gemara says, a kav of Timarim, already it's asu to chop it down. Metive kamaye bezayit. Velo yiksesu. How much do you have to have olives on a tree before you're able to cut it down? So Gemara says, roba. You only have to have a robak of a quarter of a kav. But we just said a kav. When it came to dates, why when it comes to olives you say that the shiur is robakav? Shani zetim da hashiv. Because olives are hashuv. Therefore, even less volume is considered substantial. Therefore, you're not allowed to cut such a tree down. Amar bi hanina lo shachiv shivhat biri. He says, my son Shivhat died for one reason. Because his son chopped down a fruit tree before its time, when it was still producing fruit. And therefore, Shivhat was the name of his son. So he says, my son Shivhat died for one reason only. Because he chopped down a fruit tree before its time. Amar Abina. Right, he cut the tree down prematurely, so God cut him down prematurely as well. Amar Abina. Which means, if let's say the wood is more worth than the fruit, means it's a rich wood, let's say, mutar. The only reason why you can't chop a fruit tree down, because the fruit is valuable, you can eat from the fruit. But if the fruit are not as valuable as the wood, so therefore you can cut it down, because you could use the wood. Tanya Namiachim of a Braita to support this concept. The Pasuk says like this, Rak Etz Asher Teda. This Pasuk is talking about the type of trees that you're allowed to chop down. So the first part of the Pasuk says, only a tree that you know. What does it mean that you know? So the Gemara says, Ze Ilan Ma'achal. This is a tree that produces fruit. The meaning, what? You tell me that you're allowed to cut down a tree that's producing fruit? So look at that sheep. Rak Etz Asher Teda. It's an extra pasuk. It just has to tell me anything that's not fruit bearing. What does the pasuk mean? Rak etz asher teda, a tree that you know. What does this mean even? So Rashi says ze etz ma'achal v'achi kamar. Rak etz asher teda im encha yodeya karov lematzor elahu. Which means you buy the border. And there's no other trees. You don't know any other trees except this tree, and it happens to be a fruit tree. And you need it. Kahenu. Vafino Heshel Ma'achal. Which is why you buy the border, kind of you're far away from the city or from the town, and you need the trees. So therefore, Rak Ashida, if you know that this is the only tree available, and even if it's a fruit tree, they'll allow you to cut it. That is the deen. However, the next pasuk says, "Ki lo etz ma'achalu." As long as it's not a etz ma'achal, so that's referring to what ze'ilan srak. That's referring to you can only chop down trees that are non-fruit bearing. So give us wait. V'chi ma'achal she'sofol l'rabot kol davar. You just told me that on the border I can even chop down a fruit tree. So what do you got to tell me? You can chop down a non-fruit bearing tree. So give us matamud lomar kilo etz ma'achal lehagdim srak lema'achal. It's to come and tell me that what? That first you chop the non-fruit bearing, and that comes first before the ma'achal itself. Which means when you just have ases srak, so then already you should cut those first candidate, and not the other the perot. Okay, comes the Gemara and says, Yachol afidu me'ole bedamim. Here's the proof. Are you going to tell me that even if the etz ma'achal is me'ole bedamim, I have to cut the ilan srak first? The pasuk says, Tamud amar rak. Comes to minimize that. When do I tell you I have to chop down the non-fruit bearing tree? That's only if the wood is not more valuable. But if the wood of the fruit bearing tree is more valuable, you'd be able to cut down that first. So therefore you see what? That we do take into consideration that when the wood of the tree is more expensive than the fruit itself, we are able to even cut that tree down. Now she says, "Taplan yachol afilu me'odavim nekora yote meperot yes rakodemlo." Do you think a non-fruit bearing tree comes even before a more expensive wood tree? Tamud amar rak mi'etak dama. The hakdama, the preempting is limited. only to a case where it's srak against ma'achal, then you do srak. But if it's srak against ma'achal, and the ma'achal's wood is more expensive than the ma'achal, then you're able to chop down the ma'achal tree as well. Comes the Gemara and tells a story. Shmuel, aite le arise tamre. Yeah, sharecropper brought him some dates. Achil, he ate the dates. Ta'im bihu ta'ma d'hamra. When he tasted the dates, it tasted like wine. Amar le, mai hai. He said, what does it say? These dates taste like wine. Amar le, bene gufne kaime. These date trees, these palm trees, are planted and situated next to the vines. So it seems that they're getting flavor from the vines that are next to them. Amar mecheshe b'hamra kulehai. Which means they're weakening the trees that are next to it so much that already you can taste the grape in the dates. Lemachar aiti le mekorayu. He came along and said, uproot them. Even though it's a fruit tree, but if the fruit tree is causing a damage to the trees that are next to it, because it is being unique, it is drawing from the other trees, that would be a heter in order to uproot it. The grapes are more expensive. So therefore, in the event that one tree is weakening a more expensive tree, even though they're both fruit trees, you can uproot the fruit tree that's weakening the more expensive. In this case, over there, it's ruining my vines. Therefore, uproot it. Da hazatale begufne. He saw a palm tree, dates, next to the vines. Amalela arise, he told the sharecropper, akrinu, uproot them, gufne kane dikle. Which means, with the vines, we could buy more palm trees. Dikle lo kane gufne. But from the dates, we cannot buy grapes, which means the wine is more expensive. So therefore, we can replenish the date tree with the money we'll make from the wine. But we cannot replenish the wine with the money we're going to make from the dates. And therefore, since they're not as expensive, you're allowed to take the cheaper ma'achal and uproot it if it is damaging the more expensive one. He says in Nimsa, למסקנת הגמרא, מותר לקרות עץ מאכל כאשר הקריטה נעשית שלא בדרך השחתה. Right, the common denominator is over here. The only time it's asut to cut down a fruit tree when you're cutting it in a hashchata way, in a damaging way. But if the cutting is constructive, not destructive. For example, I'm cutting it in order to use the wood, because the wood is more expensive. Or I'm cutting it in order to preserve a tree that's next to it that's more expensive. So that's considered constructive, and therefore it's okay. Or, let's say, it's being mazik, the trees that are around it. Okay.